I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Since Monday, we've spoken with lots of different people on the show about the many issues tied to the shooting in Orlando. Yesterday, I was speaking with one guest, a veteran, about the availability of assault rifles, and I asked him this question. So you deployed twice to Afghanistan. You know why these weapons were made. Should they be readily available to the general public?
I mean, that's kind of a loaded question. I mean, as far as, you know, do we need that kind of firepower on
hear
the
that?
Street?
He said it was kind of a loaded question. Even the way we speak about guns is loaded. Okay, it's packed with the lingo of firearms, under the gun, on target, a joke that misfires. Maybe this shouldn't be a surprise. After all, there's an estimated 270 million guns in Americans' hands. Millions more are manufactured every year. No wonder gun speak has made its way into our language. My WGBH colleague, Egerby Herwick III, explores this further.
Here in America, we seek silver bullets for complicated problems and smoking guns to prove guilt in the court of law and of public opinion. Yes, we're practically awash in gun speak.
If you really want to get at some deeper cultural themes, then you listen to how people talk.
That's Bob Myers, a cultural anthropologist at Alfred University in New York, who lectures on language, violence, and culture.
It's just part of our way of talking. It's so common. It reflects this longstanding obsession that we have with guns.
Myers says that gun speak has permeated American culture so deeply that it's used by everybody. Men and women, Republicans and Democrats, gun owners, and people who have never even seen a real gun, often without thinking.
I've tried to pay attention to whether this is a more or less educated style of speech, and I don't think it breaks down by education or social class. I think it's just throughout the culture.
Indeed, an urban-dwelling business executive is just as likely to pull the trigger on a deal as a deer hunter is to pull the actual trigger on his rifle in the wilds of New Hampshire. So is this a uniquely American thing?
No other modern wealthy country is as obsessed with guns as Americans are. Does that mean nobody speaks about guns using all these expressions and idioms? I'd put my money on the fact that nobody does. But I can't be sure.
To be sure, many of these expressions are just that, expressions, long stripped of any truly violent intent. So the million-dollar question is, does it really matter that we use them so freely in casual conversation?
We are far and away the most violent, wealthy society, and we are the most prone to use guns to kill somebody. I have a hard time saying that the way we speak is causative there. I think it's clearly a deeper comfort level that we have with guns.
And that comfort level, that ease with which we use gun-related words and phrases, in Myers' estimation, does matter.
I can't say that we use this violent language and imagery and that makes us more violent. But I can ask the question, well, if we spoke with all kinds of racist words, were we likely to be more racist or more comfortable being racist?
In the end, Myers says that simply changing the way we speak won't alone change the way we behave. But that doesn't mean it's not worth thinking about the words that we use.
How we talk matters. If we're uncomfortable with the fact that so many people get killed by guns in our culture, it would be a good thing for us to slow down and listen to how many different expressions we use that have to do with firearms and shooting and guns. Awareness of how we speak is always a good idea.
And if you do decide to take a shot and target the expressions that you use for more careful scrutiny, even just for a day, be prepared. You might be blown away by what you learn. For The World, Edgar B. Herwick III, Boston.